let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back once again to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio today with Father John Wargle. Welcome back, Father John. Good to see you.
Hello, Danny. We've got what we might call a quixotic little story here.
Oh, no, like quixotic, you mean?
Well, yeah, like Don Quixote, something really weird and strange.
I was just making a joke. Yes. Well, I know that, you know, this is just one of those things. Like what happens a lot when I read your posts on ancienthopes.org, I see this information and I think to myself, once again, I never read this. I've read this Genesis, these lines in Genesis many times, and it just didn't fall out this way. But anyway, we're going to talk about Noah. We're in chapter 9. We're going to talk about Noah and his family and what happens with his family and how God blesses and curses, you know, the continuation of all of that.
Right. And so whenever you run into a story like this, you got to look at the problems, okay? Problems are good. I think we've mentioned that before.
Right, sure.
It always
shows that something is happening. And so if I could just wrap my head around the identification of a problem, here's a problem here, you know?
That's right.
I'd be a lot better
And then
off.
You need to look at the motifs. Okay, because that helps you link it to other stories, and it helps you make it have sense in the broader scripture.
Sure, right? And that's just understanding the story behind the images that are in the scriptures. So identifying those images and what's happening around them, right?
That's right.
Motif. Okay.
Images or the motifs, they're key, and we'll see that they're key here. Okay. Yep. Now, Danny, this is a small enough of a text. I thought that maybe I would read it. And then as I read, this is, you and I just look at the problems.
Okay.
What's not clear here?
Okay.
The sons of Noah who went forth from the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. Right there, you kind of wonder, why does he set apart Canaan, right?
Yes.
But that's a question, right? These three were the sons of Noah, and from these, the whole earth was peopled. Noah was the first tiller of the soil. Now, is that really literally true? I mean, if that's the case, what about Cain?
Because
he was a tiller of the
soil.
He
was also,
Right. So it has to have something to do with him being a first man and maybe his discovery, because he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent.
Yeah. Okay. Another problem for me was, how did he figure out how to ferment grapes into wine?
That's the issue here. So what's going on here? Did he just innocently stumbled upon fermented, like maybe he left it out for a while and he thought, and he said, well, let me take a drink.
Let me take a drink.
Then he started drinking. Hey, this is good. And then it went from a buzz to sheer drunken.
That's right. I'm just laying down.
So maybe he was innocent in this whole thing. Or maybe he had a whole production going on here.
He
knew really well what he was doing.
He had his sons cutting barrels, the whole thing. We got to store this wine in oak barrels. Where's the oak trees?
Yeah, right. So that's another, issue here in question, okay? And laying uncovered in his tent. Well, okay. What's that all about? What does it mean, right?
Yeah.
Right. And then, Ham, again, there's a proviso, the father of Canaan. What is that about Canaan?
Yeah.
You know, we just don't know. Saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Okay. Then Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it upon their shoulders, and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father.
So they were walking backwards so that they didn't look and see.
Yeah, that was what it's implied here.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Whereas Ham gazed on his father's nakedness. Now,
right. You'd
have to ask yourself the question, okay, what's the big deal here? Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's the problem. You know, there's something going on here that's not specifically written about, and that people of that time and culture would have understood.
Right.
You know, there's some deeper context here. Meaning.
Right. I mean, after all, you know, it wasn't Ham's fault that his dad sprawled naked in the tent, right?
Right. When he was drunk, falling down.
Okay. Okay, but Shem and Japheth, they approach this very differently, right? With modesty, their faces were turned away. They did not see their father's nakedness, okay?
Right.
Then Noah woke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done to him. Okay, now, if he's completely out drunk, okay, or pretty much incapacitated, he knew what his son did to him.
Right. Again,
okay.
Another problem.
Another problem.
There's something going on here. It's some deeper meaning.
That's right. Okay. So it so disturbed Noah that he cursed, but he didn't curse Ham who did it.
Right.
He cursed his son Canaan.
Yeah. So what?
What's going on?
Again, it's the same thing. And the other thing is that, you know, this whole idea of what Ham had done to him. Again, it's just there's some deeper thing going on here that I'm positive that people who were hearing this story, you know, at that time, they would have gone, oh.
Right. You know. And for us, and even for them, there's certain ambiguity. But again, you have to look at the motifs and the language here.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
So we'll get into the curses and the blessings in a minute, but let's just talk about this story here.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, we have motifs. What kind of motifs do we see here? When you use the imagery here, we've got Noah, first man, right?
Right. And the family, the structure of the family.
The family motif, right?
And the fact that they said that they were, well, we all know that they would, you know, have children that were going to create all of humanity from them. So there were three of them. So from the three of them would come all of the people on earth.
That's right. And everybody knew that Japheth was sort of like the Indo-European people, okay, up north and to the west, okay, Greece and all that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Everyone knew that Ham was in the south. Not only Africa, but also Egypt would be considered Ham. And also, curiously enough, ancient Sumer is connected with Ham, where the origins of civilization grew.
Okay.
So Ham is to the south, but also considered to be the father of civilizations. Okay, Egypt, everybody knows that Egypt is really old.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that ancient Babylonia, especially Sumer, is very, very old, okay?
Okay.
So there's Ham, and then there's Shem, who were the Semites, okay? That's where we get the word Semitic from,
okay?
From the word Shem, okay? Now, you know, so
he's
not one of the three stooges, right?
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, forgot about that.
Oh, I think they were Jewish, but you know.
Yeah, might have been, yeah.
Anyways, bad joke. So, but that's so fascinating, okay, because we got all this, and as we'll talk about a little bit later, that Israel is right in the middle of it.
Right.
Okay. So you've got the family idea that you mentioned, he's also a vineyard. He planted a vineyard, and therefore that takes you to a garden motif.
Right, yeah.
Right.
So again, first man, Adam, garden.
That's right.
Noah Garden.
Yeah, right. So right when you start looking at these motifs, you see the link between him and Adam, okay?
Sure.
Adam sinned by partaking of the fruit from the tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here we have Noah, who's taken the fruit of the vine, right?
Gets
drunkenness.
Drunk. Yeah.
sort of, so it's kind of like a fall.
Mm-hmm.
Adam had a fall, so Noah had a fall. And so even though Noah was a first man, yet at the very beginnings with this sordid, very sordid story,
yeah,
things are headed south, right?
It's interesting, though, because, you know, with Adam, of course, God was the one who changed things. But with Noah, it seems like Noah's the one who changes things.
Yeah.
By cursing Ham's son.
That's right. Yeah. Good observation there. Yeah. Yeah. And then there's also the nakedness motif. What happened when Adam and Eve fell?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? And now you've got Noah who's naked as well.
Right.
So when you look at the motifs, all of a sudden the story starts making sense.
Does it?
Well, you know, it's kind of like that second fall. That's how it's supposed to be read, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of connections there.
Yeah, and the connections help us make sense. Otherwise, it's sort of read kind of like a weird little story. It doesn't connect with anything, but it's deeply connected with what we've already been talking about for many, many, many posts, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
Yeah, and the connections help us make sense. Otherwise, it's sort of read kind of like a weird little story. It doesn't connect with anything, but it's deeply connected with what we've already been talking about for many, many, many posts, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So anyways, the question is, saw the nakedness of his father. That is a motif itself. Okay. To uncover the nakedness of your father is to, later on in law, is a euphemism for having sex with your mother.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you shall not uncover the nakedness of, you know, blah, 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 okay, or whoever it is.
Right.
It's, you know, uncovering is a euphemism.
And so do you think that's the thing that Ham had done?
Well,
I mean,
the mother obviously is not in the picture here.
No, right.
So the question is what he must have done. And with the emphasis here that when Noah awoke from his wine, he knew what his son had done to him. What's implied here, but again, it's ambiguous and you can't prove it, is a homosexual act
on
his father.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, this wouldn't have been done out of lust. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Old Testament and ancient world looked at homosexuality so differently than modern concepts. Okay. No one really was called a homosexual, identified themselves, hey, you know, I'm a homosexual. More so, it is the acts because the acts can be done for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it would be to exert his power and authority over his father.
Right, usurping his authority
by the humiliating act of doing that, right? And that is something in his drunken stupor, he could very well have, even though he's incapacitated, he knew what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's implicit, but there's also another connection too, and that is this whole thing of Cana popping up, right?
Right, yeah. Why?
Why did God not curse Ham? Okay, well, Ham, you know, is one-third of humanity, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Canaan, his son, is associated with the Canaanites in Israel, in Palestine.
Okay.
And it was known, very much known in Old Testament scripture, that the Canaanites were very immoral in their conduct. As a matter of fact, in Leviticus 18, if you do any of these things, and all these things are listed of sexual impropriety, then the land will vomit you out just like it vomited out the Canaanites before you.
Ah, okay.
Okay. So implicit in this whole thing could be a justification for the Israelites conquering the land and destroying the Canaanites.
Yeah. And Canaan is, it's sort of in the, you know, one side went to the north, one side went to the south. Canaan's in the middle, right?
Well, that gets back to this whole chart, right?
Yeah.
Because if you look at the land of Palestine, okay, or where the Canaanites were, it's the very center of the world, the ancient world, right?
Okay.
Because the Indo-Europeans up above, the Hittites, and the Greeks and whatever.
Yeah.
And then to the south, you had Ham, and then you had the Semites, the Semites who lived in the Near East, right?
Okay. Yeah.
The Arab peoples, I guess you could say it. Plus, also included there would be the Arameans from which the Hebrews came.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that is very interesting that in the ancient world, God plopped Israel in Canaan, which really, as we shall see, becomes an Eden. Okay. Theologically, the land flowing with milk and honey. It's the land that God was leading the Israelites to,
right,
and
right.
giving it to.
Exactly.
And Danny, if you look at history, that is the land that you have to pass through to get down to Ham, or for Ham to get up to Shem, or the Semites, okay, like the Akkadians and the Assyrians. These are powerful, ancient Semitic peoples. They would have to come all
They all have to come through.
The Romans, the Greeks, even before them, okay? I mean, it's right in the middle of East and West.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Right?
So it's a core central place.
It's a core central place. It always has been that way. And the prophecies here tell us that it's going to continue that. Okay? Let's take a look at the prophecies. Okay, cursed be Canaan, a slave of slaves shall he be to his brothers. In other words, that's basically a prophecy that the children of Israel, okay, we will see down the road, Abraham's posterity is going to take over the land from the Canaanites.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He also said, blessed be the Lord my God, be Shem, and let Canaan be his slave. So blessed be Yahweh. Okay, Yahweh is the specific covenantal name that was given just to Abraham's seed. And okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
So this blessed be the Lord is a phrase of praise.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it really sets up as Shem being the source of true religion, of a true unity with God.
Okay.
Okay. And then God enlarged Japheth. That's a blessing for Japheth because Japheth is going to be enlarged, going to be powerful. And let him dwell in the tents of Shem, which implies that Japheth militarily will get the upper hand on the Semites. But it's implied that Japheth is going to be dwelling in the tents, and that by dwelling in the tents of Shem, spiritually, Shem is going to conquer Japheth.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so there's that military idea of dwelling in the tents, okay, of entering into their land. And, you know, this has been happening over the years. I mean, the Greeks, okay, the ancient Greeks, you know, Helen of Troy, that whole thing,
right,
you know,
sure.
East-West conflict, where the West usually ends up on top, okay, because eventually Alexander took over, you know, the Middle East.
Yeah.
But even Alexander himself, when he died, he looked very much like a Babylonian monarch. I mean, okay, they were all sort of converted in a sense to the Eastern ways of things, especially in the long run, religion.
Okay.
Okay, because Christianity itself is an Eastern religion.
Uh-huh, sure.
Okay, the West, even the Crusades, okay, is a bad idea, okay? I agree with you. It's not a great idea to go and conquer lands and that sort of thing. But history is going to do its thing, right?
Yes, sure.
And that's
course,
what this prophecy is basically saying, right? So we believe in Yahweh who revealed himself to the Shemites, even though you and I are Japhethites.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And the same thing is true for Ham as well. Ham is not specifically mentioned here, but his son is in a very negative way. But it's through Shem, blessed be Yahweh, mm-hmm. that Yahweh is going to be emanate from this land to
right.
the whole
so
world.
On the one hand, we have kind of the military might, and uh-huh. they're very powerful. But on the other hand, we have the spiritual power who is able to overcome the military might.
That's
because
right.
of its spirituality and connection to God.
That's right. It's all implicit,
yeah,
okay,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Through the motifs and just through how the ancients viewed the geographical world, especially Israelites, as themselves being the center of the world,
yeah.
and the center of what God is doing, right?
Yeah,
so,
in the world.
Yeah. So think about this, Danny. Isn't this it's a strange little story, right?
It is, but it's got a lot of meaning.
A lot packed in when you look at the whole thing.
Right.
It's very prophetic,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, it says a lot about the future. It says a lot
That's
about
right.
the future and what's going to happen with the world, with these peoples, all these different peoples.
Right,
huh.
yeah. And, of course, it has been used very negatively, especially in America with slavery and all that, because... the Hamites were associated with Africans, and so therefore, let us, enslave them, sort of thing, because the Bible tells us that.
But, right, right.
But it really doesn't say anything about Ham right here in this prophecy. The
mm-hmm.
focus is on Cana for theological reasons that we spoke about before.
Yeah.
Right.
But people they use the scriptures to whatever it was that they really wanted to do. So that,
well, everybody
that was
does that really,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, sure.
and that's why we got a magisterium in the church that that keeps us from
Thank
saying
goodness.
Crazy things like that, you know,
yeah.
and misinterpretations. Right. So, there you have it.
Okay. Wow.
We have this little cameo of a story, that seems, like I said at the beginning, quixotic, a weird. Okay, I'll read it. Okay, I'm out of here. Go to the next thing.
Well, that's the thing is that's the way I read it my whole
right.
life.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just bypassed it through,
right.
not even realizing that there was
but
so
it's
much
pivotal.
Yeah,
right. It's pivotal, and you learn this pivotal by looking at the motifs and really asking yourself some hard questions about the meaning of what's going on here.
Right. Yeah. Good. Okay. Great. Well, anything else to add?
No, I think that's it.
Good.
God
okay.
Bless.
Good. Yeah.
Bye.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.